This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Kimberly Brummett, and on behalf of the Cops Office, I would like to introduce you to Superintendent Peter Lennon, Commander of the Fairfield Local Area Command, New South Wales, Australia, Police Force. The New South Wales Police Force, or NSWPF, is a state police force within the boundaries of the country of Australia and comprises 18,000 police officers and has a strong focus on customer service, community engagement, and crime reduction. Fairfield Local Area Command is within the city of Sydney, with a population of 200,000, 60% of whom do not speak English as their first language. Superintendent Lennon is here today to discuss how NSWPF implements community policing. Welcome, Superintendent.
Good morning, Kimberly. How are you?
Good. Superintendent, can you describe the community policing efforts your department is doing?
Sure. Every single LAC, Local Area Command, and there are 80 of those in the state of New South Wales, has a very strong focus on community policing. We fully understand that we have to deal with our population as if they're customers. We actually have a very strong focus on customer service. And we've actually got one of our most senior police, a deputy commissioner, which is second in charge, who pushes customer service as one of her main agenda items. So it's very, very important to all the local area commands. Not only are we working on crime reduction, but we're also dealing with our population as if they are customers. So there's a lot of focus on call back to victims, follow up with victims, and just a lot of engaging with people as if they were your, one of the phrases that we use is that, you know, you've got to think you're dealing with your brother, your sister, your mother, your auntie, or your uncle. Deal with them as if they are a relative of yours, and that's the way we should be dealing with our customers.
Great. And you've kind of segued into the second question. How do you work with the community to build trust and respect?
Well, in those ways that I just spoke about, with a strong focus on customer service, but we also go out a lot to meet with our community groups. We spend a lot of time in our school, the either primary school, which is like from 5 to 10 years old, and then our secondary schools, which are from 10 to 18. And we spend a lot of time in our schools. Every single local area command is expected to do that. There are actually officers who are school liaison officers or youth liaison officers who go out and spend a lot of time like that. And then we just go out and basically say, look, we're here to talk to you. In Fairfield, the theme that we use here is that we are you, that we work here, we live near here, we feel the good times and we feel the bad times. So we go out and engage with our community in Fairfield, but as I say, most other local area commands do it as well. We're actually out mixing with groups at shopping centres or community groups, senior citizens, hostels, all sorts of groups, as many as we can mix with, to go and get our message out there, because bringing it back to Fairfield, with 60% who don't speak English as their first language, we've got a major, major hurdle to get over. And a lot of our people who live in Fairfield come from the Middle East, so their past experience with the police could be very, very extreme, where the police were a force of authority, and then within days, they're living over here in Fairfield, and here I am putting up my hand to shake hands with them, and a week ago, they were being pushed, shoved, treated harshly by an authority over there. So that's what we have to deal with here in Fairfield.
You started holding Coffee with Cops sessions. Can you tell us a little bit about why you made that decision and how you hold the sessions?
I heard about Coffee with a Cop from a visiting New York police officer who was over here talking about community engagement. And he started talking about Coffee with a Cop, and it just resonated with me on a number of levels. We're always looking for community engagement strategies here in Fairfield, and I've described why and some of the barriers that we've got. But I needed a way to just another little angle to talk with our community. So I started looking into Coffee with a Cop. I've had a look at your podcast, and I've had a look at a lot of the work that Hawthorne and all your other police forces have done over there, which is fantastic too. Well done, America. You're doing a great job. So I just looked at that and thought, well, that's just a really good way, because over here in Fairfield, we have a lot of coffee lounges. We have a lot of outdoor areas where mainly the men sit down and get coffee and solve the problems of the world. Also, I think, so I just thought it was a way for us to reach out with them, very much the same as what you do in America, where it's not a stressful situation. You're not being assertive because you're not being a police officer being called to a job. It's just a very, very friendly way to introduce yourself. We've had three so far Coffee with a Cop sessions, and the main topics that we've been talking about was the World Cup soccer, how nice the weather's been in Sydney for winter. The third topic was about good shops in Fairfield and where we should go to. And the fourth and most important topic was about teenagers who wouldn't clean up their bedrooms.
Sounds good.
So we just had very, very informal conversations about that. Just as people do, you know, you just basically take your uniform off and you're just talking with a friend. So, but then from that, they can see that we're completely different to what they thought we were from the countries that they've come from the people that they've spoken to. We're not high on a trial, pulling them over and pointing our finger at them because they've been speeding or they haven't got their seatbelt on. We're not there because they've had a domestic relationship argument and they've been swearing at their wife or they've been drinking too much or, you know, they've been found in suspicious circumstances late at night, you know, down a back alley or, you know, whatever sort of situations where police come across people and we're forceful and we're authoritative and we don't smile and we don't show a human face. This is a complete reverse, which I just think has got a real lot of benefits to it, and it just removes a lot of those barriers, and people can just see the human side of the police over here. We don't sit down with 8 or 10 cops sitting in a row waiting for people to come to us. It's just not going to work.
Mm.
We actually just move from table to table. There's probably 4 or 5 of us, and if there's a spare chair, we'll just come and sit down at the table and just say, "Hi, do you mind if I buy you a cup of coffee? I just want to have a chat about what's going on. Is there anything we can help you with?" And that's the way we introduce ourselves over here. There's no point being in a row waiting for people to come to you because they're just too scared of you. They don't want to talk to you. They don't know why you're there. Got to be very, very laid back about the way you approach them. And then the second side of the whole thing is that my community, being mainly Middle Eastern, the value of coffee is a cultural thing. To actually offer to buy a cup of coffee with someone from the Middle Eastern culture means that you want to have a conversation with him. You want to actually engage in a trusted relationship, and that goes back hundreds and thousands of years. The offer of a cup of coffee to someone from a Middle Eastern country is a very strong message of goodwill. So whilst Americans, you're leading the push with Coffee with a Cop, it's got a different, slightly different and stronger message with me because of the Middle Eastern cultures that we deal with over here. There's all these sort of little connotations about having a cup of coffee with someone. If they turn around and say no, it means that there's a serious barrier between you. If they say yes, it means they're completely open to have an exchange of views, which is, you know, and bearing in mind that's hundreds and thousands of years old, it's a strong message for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Perfect, yes. That's fabulous. So part of community policing is building partnerships between the private and public sectors. Can you describe the partnerships in which your department engages?
Sure. Well, most of the local area commands have very good partnerships. We all have community safety meetings that we hold with the council, our local shopping centres, our local business chambers of commerce, which is like your shopkeepers and business leaders, real estate agents, those sorts of people. So we have a lot of meetings with those to talk through issues. We have a lot of meetings with the council on road safety issues, where we should be doing more safety awareness. I'm talking about lighting or CCTV cameras, closed circuit television, where those sorts of things should be put into place around the parklands or shopping malls, those areas where we have a lot of people. So we have a lot of partnerships on those sorts of things, and it is a very trusted relationship because a lot of those businesses can't get things done without the police support, and a lot of the police can't get things done without those businesses' support. But we all acknowledge the relationships, and we do a lot of work together. We do a lot of work with our church groups over here, and that's just because it's a Fairfield matter. We've got probably 6 or 7 major religions over here, and unfortunately there's a lot of pressure currently going on in the Middle East, which is, it's not coming out too much in the community over here, but they're talking about it a lot over here because we have a lot of Middle Eastern cultures over here from Iraq and nearby countries that our slogan is "We are you." We go out and just push that you know, we are part of the community. We want to know what's going on, and we want to be on the front foot in solving problems with these community groups, religious groups, before they become issues. We don't want protests that get out of hand and end up in violence and riots. We prefer to sit down, discuss things, and try to come up with an easier solution rather than have to go and use force. And it comes back to, and I've mentioned it to one of your other officers, Sir Robert Peel from the London Metropolitan Police, started off a thing called the Peelian Principles, if you want to look them up. And they talk about the police are the community and the community are the police. And if the police have to start using violence towards their community, then they fail because that isn't what their job is. So the measure of a good police force is the absence of violence or the absence of force in a police force.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you, Superintendent, for your time today and all the information you've shared. I know our police officers listening will truly enjoy it. I hope you have a great day.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.